It's going to be several years more, at least, until first responders can access a nationwide broadband network being built exclusively for them. It's called the First Responder Network Authority, and that's the group building it, or FirstNet. Even with a $7 billion budget, though, the project has encountered a number of obstacles. Alan Tillis is chairman of the telecommunications department at the law firm Shulman Rogers. He joins me now with more on FirstNet's struggles. Alan, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so how far back does this project actually originate? It's something like 20 years in one form or another, isn't it?
Not quite. It actually goes back to 2007 and an idea that was put forth by Morgan O'Brien, who was one of the founders of Nextel. It was his idea to take part of the 700 megahertz band, known as the D block, and devote it to a public safety broadband system, nationwide system. That's really where it started in 2007.
And it took a long time before that D block was actually sold. It was just sold last year, I believe.
What had to happen first was that Congress had to approve this block of spectrum not being sold. And at first, it was Congress's idea to take this and block and sell it to an entity who would combine with public safety, build this system. It did not get sold in the auction.
Several auctions, right? It kept getting passed over, right?
Yeah, and ultimately what happened was they had to go back to the drawing board and figure out another way to do it. So there really was a very long gestation period here.
All right, so the block then, the frequency, the medium exists for FirstNet.
Yes, it does.
And so what's taking so long to just hook it up to a bunch of police radios?
Well, the idea is not to supplement, take an existing radio used by police and fire and just add more bandwidth. Rather, we're talking about a whole different set of devices that public safety has never been able to use on their own network before, and those are the broadband devices that many of us are used to using on the consumer side, tablets, and being able to stream video onto devices of a variety of sizes.
Because recently there was a congressional hearing about this, and the leadership from FirstNet said they ought to be able to finish it by 2022, and so subtracting from 2007, that's a long time, doesn't it? What is taking this thing so long?
There's an amazing variety of challenges that have arisen in putting this together, not the least of which is the difficulties that FirstNet has had hiring folks to work on the project. Because of federal procurement laws, it has taken quite a while for them to put together staff. But that's only one of a series of problems. Another problem, which is something that had to be in the design, is that there has to be consultation with each state to talk about how that system should be built within each state. There's really two options. The FirstNet can build the system, or a state can opt out. And as part of that opt-out, the state will actually have to do the construction itself. So what are the pluses and minuses of a state opting out? What are their obligations? How will the states work together with the federal system if they do choose to opt out? So all of this had to be created because it's never been done before. That was part of the problem. There's been a whole host of problems in the vision of FirstNet by a variety of people over time, whether it's more driven by the public safety community, more driven by the feds. So there's been just an amazing number of struggles in putting this together.
And when you say building it, does that mean that it requires a physical infrastructure that does not exist now?
That is correct. It is a brand new, from the ground up, infrastructure that's being put together here. Now, you can utilize some existing infrastructure. For example, you don't necessarily want to go ahead and build all new towers for this project. You want to leverage as much existing infrastructure as you can to build it sooner rather than later. But there's still an immense amount of work to put together for this brand new system.
All right. So, yeah, because you go by every single state police barracks, there's a tower of some sort that they're doing something with to communicate now.
Yeah, but this is fundamentally different because in the public safety arena, we've never used broadband. Therefore, we have never had the number of cell sites that you normally would associate with a cellular system. Rather, even the most intensely built public safety system would have perhaps, let's say, in the metropolitan area here, if you were building a system from scratch, you'd have 20 to 50, perhaps, cell sites, depending on what type of infrastructure or in-building coverage you wanted to have. In a cellular system, you'd have that much in a couple of blocks.
Okay, so there's a real expense then that probably the $7 billion that FirstNet has would not cover, even if all the states said to them, you build it. It doesn't sound like $7 billion would go very far.
It was not intended from the beginning, the $7 billion, to build the whole system. Rather, it was the intention, Congress's intention, that FirstNet be able to leverage relationships with commercial entities, commercial cellular entities, in order to find ways to keep the cost of the system low, while at the same time have some costs borne by the actual first responders.
We're speaking with Alan Tillis. He's chairman of telecommunications department at the law firm Shulman Rogers. And when you, aside from the towers and so forth, there has to be someone to sit there and operate equipment to put that signal so that it's on all the time. Would that be the federal government? Would that be local contractors? Would it be a national contractor? Who would actually put the signal on the air and make sure it's up? Because when you use your cell phone, it's Verizon or AT&T or Sprint or one of them.
That's a fantastic question because on the cellular side, the network's up. You use it as you wish. The problem is, or the difficulty in a public safety system, is that if you have an incident in a particular location, you have to have somebody on a local basis who is able to prioritize certain pieces of communication that are going to be on the system at the time. So let's think of the Metro accident from a couple of months ago. If we had FirstNet at that time, you would have a number of first responders nearby in that location, probably streaming video. What do you do with all of that information to get it to the right people to figure out what it is you want to do with that information? You need somebody locally who can have access to everything and can figure out what is important right at this moment and what is not. And so that really is difficult to do on a nationwide basis. So it's going to be a combination of national control and local control, and this is one of the very complicated ideas and concepts never been done before that has to be figured out by FirstNet.
And that seems more like a doctrine problem or a practice problem than really a technology issue.
It's a combination of both. It is policy and practices as well as technology, because from a technology side, you have to think about how do you create a system that somebody, once you decide on a policy, that this is going to be the person in charge of figuring out what to send where and how. What does he or she have to have access to, and how does that work? What do they push it out with, and how? So it is both policy and technological, and it's just, as I said before, never been done before.
Now, FirstNet is housed in the Commerce Department's National Telecommunications and Information Administration, the NTIA. Is that the best place for it? Should it be in Homeland Security, where at least presumably they have experience with all of these technology and doctrinal issues?
The problem has been not so much whether it's FirstNet housed within NTIA, meaning the Commerce Department, or Homeland Security. Remember, Commerce Department houses NTIA. NTIA has a lot of experience with federal communications and federal first responders. So it's not like there's a lack of knowledge there. Rather, it's a question of once you house this agency or entity within one of these departments, how much autonomy does the entity have? And I think on the public safety side, most folks envisioned that FirstNet would have much more autonomy than it has been given by the Commerce Department.
And I imagine also there's a DOD part of this, because occasionally the National Guard is involved in first response for really big emergencies. And so I wonder, is there some forum for the Defense Department to weigh in?
There is, and that kind of cooperation has traditionally happened between federal and local officials on existing public safety networks. So that's not an unusual thing to happen, and I think that's probably one of the smoother things that is going on here currently.
All right, so what's the status of FirstNet now?
Right now, FirstNet is reaching out and having these discussions with the states. They are going to each state doing presentations on the vision that there is presently by the board members for FirstNet for what is going to be built and how it's going to be built from a federal side, and discussing with the various states about, okay, how do we maximize the efficiency and build out of this system in your particular area? You know local communications. You know the local operating environment. You know a local public safety. So how do we do this best in your area? And this is the benefit if you do it this way, or here's what you have to do if you opt out. So right now it's a series of RFPs, requests for proposals, requests for information by FirstNet, asking the states for information like this, and then also FirstNet reaching out, doing meetings in the various locations.
And if you looked at the 50 states, I mean, do we have an idea of what percentage of states say we'll build it ourselves, or what percentage are saying to the government, well, you go ahead and build it and we'll just use it? Is there any sense of that yet?
There isn't, because I think a lot of states are waiting to see what it ultimately is going to be in terms of the regulatory structure and the things that we've been talking about this morning from the federal side before they make that decision. So I think a lot of states are holding their cards, if you will, and trying to figure it out before they make any kind of public pronouncements. I mean, there is a period of time by which a state will have to decide, but that is nowhere near happening yet.
And so do you see FirstNet ever actually happening?
There's so many variables that will decide that, including, quite frankly, what happens within Congress. Because Congress has the ability at some point, if they wanted to pull the plug on this. So going forward, you have to say, okay, what is the current makeup of Congress? And does the current makeup support FirstNet being built? Or is there a desire to take that money and do something else with it? And how will that change in 2 years after the next election? So one of the problems here is that with this entity being under the control of Congress, there is the threat at certain points along the way that the vision and the funding and many other things about FirstNet could change.
Alan Tillis is chairman of the Telecommunications Department at the law firm Shulman Rogers. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.